Hey, aloha, everybody. This is Jeff Reinbold, and we are back after a little bit of a hiatus. And I'm back joined by my man, Michael McQuaid from Pro Football Ireland, and we're talking football, the NFL schedule release. We're going to talk a little bit of Kansas City Chiefs, and maybe not the kind of story that you actually want to talk about when you're talking about the defending Super Bowl champions, but we're going to talk about it anyway because it's newsworthy. Talk about it a little bit, Michael, as a guy who is closely related to the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, how you feel about the difficulty in front of us with the Pittsburgh Steelers and their schedule. It looks brutal to me.
First off, Jeff, Monday morning. Hello to everybody listening. I have this podcast on the Pro Football Ireland RSS feed, and I just called it JRS. JRS, baby. So first off, before we talk about any of that there, like let's just get into it. Like, this, like, Jeff has been, like, ridiculously busy. So this is usually, I'll be very transparently honest with people. This is the dead part of the year for me. I'm trying to get some sort of rest. But Jeff is, like, driving around America trying to get, like, young people to play for Hawaii, which is fantastic to see, Jeff. And I'm delighted for you getting to go to so many high schools and talk to so many young people. It's becoming an issue recording podcasts, but it's not a big deal. I'm just glad we're getting the chance now to record something. And before we talk about the NFL, I know you're what's the best way to describe this? I wouldn't say, you know, fair weather Leeds fan, but you're a Leeds fan.
Wait a second.
Leeds, Jeff. Leeds are one game away from the big time again, pal. One game away. You excited,
Michael? It was bound to happen. It's kind of the natural way that it was going to happen. Leeds can never be out of the big time very long. And I'm just going to throw this down. The rest of the Premiership better watch their ass, because when the Mighty Whites are back, they're not coming back. And in the immortal words of Conor McGregor, we didn't come to compete. We came to dominate. And that's what they're going to do. I'm just telling you.
4 a.m. your time next Sunday morning. That game is ESPN Plus, I believe, for you, Jeffrey. So I'll say no more. It's that time of the year. It is, and we'll talk about the schedule in a wee second. We're starting now. We've got that lull between now and camp starting, which is nice. It's good to relax a bit, and I know it's going to be a busy year. I know, Jeff, we're going to have your show twice a week during the season, which I'm really excited for, and there's more to come on that there. Before we talk about Chiefs, etc., let's jump into the schedule. We had your best friend, Handsome Hank, on the podcast on Thursday, Jeff, who dropped a bit of a Dublin bomb, which was something. But just first off, your thoughts on the schedule, like in terms of London. So, for example, for international fans listening, Jets Vikings, Jags Bears, Pats Jags in Wembley, and also Panthers against the Giants. Just first off, your thoughts internationally, Jeff, because I know we haven't had a chance to talk about this.
Well, I think the big game will be with the most interest is obviously the early game, in Rio de Janeiro, because that's now we're talking about another continent. The NFL's going
Sao Paulo,
to another
Jeff.
Continent.
I thought it would be in America. It's in like a 40,000. It's in a smaller stadium.
Well, I think they, you know, the NFL is never going to put themselves in a position where there's going to be empty seats on one of these kind of deals. So I understand that. I think that football has grown, you know, incrementally like crazy in the last 10 years in Brazil. This is an opportunity for the league to get to another continent. And, you know, obviously, if you're a fan of the international program, and the expansion of the game around the world, then this is only good news. I'm not fired up about the game that Germany's got, but I'll guarantee you, I know the German fans, after having coached over there in NFL Europe for a number of years, they will sell that game out and they will sing from before the kickoff till after the kickoff, and it'll be a great environment. I'm not sure how great a football game it's going to be, but certainly it'll be a big-time environment.
Yeah, it's interesting because you have that. The difference this year is a little bit of a different schedule. You talk about that game in Sao Paulo, the Packers-Eagles on a Friday night. I mean, for us, if you're in Europe, That is sensational. Thursday, Friday, Sunday, college football, of course, on a Saturday. So certainly a really intriguing matchup, and a big difference this year, Jeff, is going to be the NFL Christmas schedule, which is on Netflix in 2024. And you've got two games. You've got the Chiefs playing the Steelers, and then the Ravens playing the Texans, both in the early and later window, no prime time game. But for the first time, Netflix paying $150 million for these games. Now, we've had this talk on FaceTime. Look, provided you're back on Sky Sports, I know it would have been great to have you on TV. But Jeff, these games are on a Wednesday night. Surely you need a Christmas off at some point. Yeah? Just your
Well,
reaction to this.
I think it's, obviously for me, every day is a football day. So I don't have the issues with, Christmas being on Wednesday and, the games being broadcast, certainly by Netflix. I think what you're seeing, Michael, is the future in that pay-per-view television is here to stay. And, you look at what it would cost now. I heard this number thrown out the other day. I can't verify it, but this is what they said on NFL Network, that if you streamed everything that you wanted to stream, right, to get every game that you wanted, an NFL game this year, it would cost you somewhere around $1,800 to make do all that streaming. And if you think about it, what's the cost of going to a game? The tickets, the parking, the refreshments, all of that. And you can do it from the comfort of your own home. I think that's where the game is going. There'll always be live fans. I think that's, I would be just shocked if we ever got away from that. But certainly the pay-per-view market is huge. And, you look at Mike, this is amazing. This statistic is amazing. If you look in the last 20 years, the highest rated television of across all networks, across all genres, across all stories, has been NFL football. And not just one game. I'm talking about like half of the most highly rated shows, right, in television in the last 20 years have been NFL football games. So the league knows that it has a product that is extremely good on television, and they know how to produce it, and they know how to sell it. And all that means is there's more money coming in for the owners and more money coming to the players because they get a cut of it. Here's where I'm concerned, right? And you mentioned the Christmas games. There are, in my opinion, as a football guy, an alarming amount of short week games this year. And you look at some of those teams that are going to have to play a divisional rival and then come back and play, on 3 or 4 days rest. This is not tennis, and they have to understand that. This is not basketball or soccer. I mean, this is a violent, physical game, and your body needs time to heal up. Mike, by the time we get to Christmas and we're into week 16, week 14 even, those guys have a hard time getting out of bed the day after a game, much less play 3 days later. So I'm, as a football guy, I'm concerned for the players because this is where, if you can take a shot at the NFL, then I think this is a fair shot, right? That we talk about player safety, but yet we go ahead and do these kinds of things, these short weeks, which we know is tougher on their bodies, but yet we do it. Why? Because it makes everybody more money. And the players do it because it makes them more money. So it's not just the league, it's the Players Association, it's everybody associated.
I think it's a really interesting point you're making. And for people listening to this, whether you're in the US or if you're in Europe, we all have different ways of watching the game. And, without getting in trouble on a Monday morning, it costs money to watch these things. I have Sky, and I certainly enjoy honestly, I enjoy having the games live. And if I'm streaming it, I know it's a minute behind. I like that. At the moment, I'll pay it. Like in my position where I need to be, like I need to see that live, right? And that's my argument at the minute. But certainly, we're talking about 2 or 3 hours after the Premier League soccer season ended. over here, and there's the same kick up. There's too many channels. There's too much, like, and all that. And I think the good thing that the NFL has over here is you've got Sky, but you've got Game Pass, and that's it. And you know, once you've paid that, that's it. And certainly now it's becoming an option for people in the States to talk about this in a different way with Netflix. I like the Netflix option because I have Netflix, and that's about the height of it. And if they put my price up, I'm canceling. And they won't internationally. I think if you're in the States, they're going to jump it up. But I'm just interested to see what the presenter comment. Like, I mean, this is how deep we're into this offseason. We're talking about this.
Well, no, it's a valid point. I mean, who's going to broadcast these things? Who's going to produce it? Netflix does
And
not,
it's
to my knowledge.
worldwide, Jeff. It's
Yeah,
worldwide.
and that's what I'm saying. Netflix, to my knowledge, does not have a sports wing, right? Like, when HBO had all the fights, well, they had commentators, they had fight analysts, they had all that stuff. Netflix is going to have to go out and hire those guys. And, again, that's spin-off benefit, right? This is what we're talking about with the NFL. The NFL keeps a lot of people employed, not just football players and trainers and doctors and equipment guys and officials. I mean, it's incredibly huge industry, and there are all kinds of support industries that are propped up because of it. We're going to see Tom Brady make his broadcast debut getting the Browns against the Cowboys. I mean, there's so much going on. We could talk. Everybody says it's the downtime. Hey, no, there's no downtime in the NFL. There's just no games right now.
But it's like the if you're like us, and like, look, I know you work during the day on football. It is technically a little bit of downtime for like a month, and then a bit, like, once it gets going again, it gets going. But it's beautiful because the NFL is scheduled a way where it's pretty much for 10 out of 12 months of the year, arguably 11, the eyes of it is on the NFL. Like, we're sitting at the minute. Yeah, like, there was two game sevens on Sunday night in the NBA, and there's still NFL news coming out. Like that's the beauty of it.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. It hasn't been a great 6 or 8 days for the Kansas City Chiefs, to be real honest with you. And I know that they're ramping up, and Patrick Mahomes is talking about a three-peat, and Kelsey's talking about a three-peat. But right now, that team has got some issues off the field. They just had two of their offensive linemen busted on a weed charge, right? Possession charge. And then you got Rashee Rice and all of his drama with what went on in the offseason with him drag racing and putting people's lives in danger. And then you got Harrison Butker, who goes to do a commencement address at Benedictine College and uses some of the most divisive language, I think. I mean, I was shocked. And Paul Sheehy, my agent, used to be Butker's agent. And like I just really was absolutely shocked. You know what? Like, I think a guy can believe anything he wants to believe, right? But when you're a professional football player and you represent a league and you represent an organization, you're given a unique platform to what you say matters to people, whether it should or not. You get the platform because you can kick the football, but you use the platform to be divisive. You use the platform to spread, I won't say hate, but ignorance is what I would describe it as. And I just think, the Kansas City Chiefs need to come out strong, and I mean strong, in my opinion, after what Harrison Butker said, and embarrassed not only himself, I think, and but his teammates and the Kansas City Chiefs.
There's a lot to unpack there. What I will say first is, in terms of a PR sense of the Chiefs, I want to give a shout out because I know he's not going to listen to this. Ted Cruz, former head of PR communications with the Kansas City Chiefs, Ted looked at me after the Super Bowl going, basically, you're asking Patrick Mahomes the next question. And then he cut the press conference. So, Ted, good luck in your new job with the Bears. I wish you all the very, very best. To be fair, and look, this is obviously an NFL podcast in terms of myself, Pro Football Ireland. Chiefs were excellent to me at the Super Bowl. I got the chance to chat to the owners of the Hunt family, and I think for a good 4 or 5 minutes on a very busy night. So fair play to them in that sense. It has not been a good few weeks or months for the team in terms of what's going on outside of that. And I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying, Jeff. I guess all I'm going to say is this, and I'll probably not elaborate on the matter, but certainly you're more than welcome to, Jeff. We all know that the NFL have distanced themselves, and they've said this from a personal standpoint, which technically it is because of the time of the year where it was, who said it. But at the same time, I understand. I completely get the uproar. Ed Harrison on a podcast a couple of years ago, and look, for people listening to this, I'm a practicing Catholic. I was disappointed to hear some of the things that he said, certainly. I think there's some things where I don't want to go into detail on them, but certainly, I respect anyone's opinion, especially where I'm from. At the end of the day, whether you agree with someone or not, I think it's important that I've been brought up to learn to respect someone for their beliefs, but there was some of the things where I thought went over a line, and I was disappointed to hear a lot of them, especially on children, for example. And I think, when you're in that position, it's very important to set an example to people. But again, he is steadfast in his beliefs, and he will defend himself to the hilt, I believe now, because that's been the way since. And I get that. I know people that are very religious here, and they will have maybe not the exact same beliefs, but they will have that same mindset of this is the way. If you don't follow this way, you're condemned. So that's why I can see it. Doesn't mean to say I don't agree with 80% of the stuff that was said. I'm disappointed by it. I don't think the Chiefs will do anything. I think it's an off-season story, and they'll just plug on and just allow it to go. But certainly, it's a headache for them PR wise, and not just that. You talk about a couple of players that were obviously Jeff stopped and booked the other night for something else. So definitely not an easy time with that. But certainly, when you have people that don't watch the NFL here that are asking me about the kicking situation and what was said, it's made way beyond the headlines it should have made, if you get my drift.
And again, I agree with you, Michael. I say, you can believe anything you want to believe. And the locker room is, and I always put it in the context of the locker room. The locker room is a very forgiving place where you have a lot of guys from a lot of backgrounds who have a lot of different beliefs, religious and otherwise. When you are a National Football League player, or you represent the NFL, or you're a coach or whatever, you have a responsibility, I think, to weigh everything that you say. And understand that if you say something, there's a million ways to say what you want to say. But the bottom line is, when you say it, does it improve people's lives or does it divide people? And if it divides people, you're right or I'm right, you're wrong, then I think you misuse the platform that the league gives you. And that's my biggest thing with it. And
I think. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just really, I'm adamant about that because these guys are capable of doing so much good. And they are, so many of them are doing incredible things, with disadvantaged communities, with youth, with the elderly. I mean, it's unbelievable. Every team has guys like that. And for one guy to come out, and because he has ultra, what, I don't know, you can call him conservative or what, but he's over way out of center, right? And that doesn't mean he's wrong or that he's a bad guy or any of those things. I just think that you cannot use your platform to send messages that are not, that divide people.
I think that, like, the last thing I'll say on this is this. It's We've been doing podcasts for 3 or 4 years, and we never come out like this and talk like this. And I think if anyone listens to our stuff, they know this, right? And I will, for the record, state that I'm sure there's a lot of people out there to share his opinion. Okay? He's the highest selling female jersey on Fanatics right now. So I am trying to cover both bases here. But what I will say is this. In the NFL, over the last 2 to 3 to 4 years, I have worked with people. I've worked with women, plenty of female people. I'm not even doing this justice, Jeff. Female analysts, female sports players. And I think a comment, like, there was a comment made about a woman last week that I thought was over the line. My wife is 10 times, 100 times the person that I am in, and we share the same profession during the day. I have the utmost respect for her. And I think in this day and age, to come out and say that you expect your wife or your partner to be at home is, because of that is wrong. And like, I will stand by saying that. But, I think the NFL, I think football thrives on having strong female voices and having strong women. And there's some great female analysts and influencers in the UK and Ireland, for example. And certainly, I think, everyone's welcome in this space. And it certainly, like, I texted the other day that did annoy me, those comments. I wish him the best in his career, but certainly, I think sometimes just, take it easy is what I would say. I probably haven't done a good job with that.
Yeah, I, you know what? And again, I get wound up, I guess is the right word, about those kind of things. But let's move on to something a little more positive. Like, how about Caleb Williams coming to London to battle the Jags? And I think the Bears have the chance, Mike. The chance. I'm not going to say I'm not anointing them right now, but I think the Bears have a chance to be a factor in the NFC North. Now, the NFC North is going to be a very good division this year. And I think what you're going to see is early on, we're going to get, by the time Caleb Williams gets to London, you're going to already, coaches are already going to start to try and make a book on him, because it usually takes a defensive coach about 4 games before they can really start to hone in on the things that cause you problems and the things you struggle with. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what the Jaguars are able to come up against a guy that is really, really a talented young quarterback.
Light years ahead, he was described, I believe, a week and a half ago or so at minicamp. A real impression made in Chicago. And I guess the only comeback I have to this is this. It's a great storyline for London. It's a great, potential matchup at Tottenham. But what I would say, Jeff, is I was looking at my social media or Provable Ireland social media 3 or 4 days ago, looking, going, what were we doing this time last year? What sort of content were we putting out? Like, what? And this is what I go back to all the time. What do people engage with? What do people enjoy? And we had a week where we were talking about the Bears, first pick of the draft. What were we gonna do? So I feel like we've been here before. So I'm just gonna give them, like, look, I know people
Well,
are
hey,
excited.
you know what? You bring up a great point, Michael. We have to tap the brakes a little bit on these young quarterbacks, right? Because everybody has this idea. If you're a Commanders fan, you think you're ready to buy your Super Bowl tickets because you got Jaden Daniels. And Jaden Daniels is a really talented young player, right? But there are a lot of things that he's going to have to learn. There are a lot of things he's going to have to just, sort out. There's, I can't even describe to you the amount of information he's going to have to process in the next 3 or 4 months before they go to training camp and start playing games. So for all of these guys, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy, any of them, Bo Nix, any of them, they've all got big, steps in front of them, a really steep learning curve in front of them. I think it's going to be truly interesting to see, like you talk about May in New England, right? And he's going to have to go out there with not a particularly good supporting cast around him and make plays, because there is a standard of quarterback play in New England that they got used to after through the Tom Brady era. And when Mac Jones couldn't get it done. Now, it's going to be on May to come in and they expect him to play at a high level.
Jeff, you're recording in your car. What the hell's going on, man? Tell us.
My car shuts off after a certain point if I'm not moving. And so
Let
I gotta
me.
start the engine again so I can cool this phone off so I don't lose you again. Mike,
Let's.
this is just, put the fans on notice that this is how committed we are to bringing you a show. That I'm sitting in my car and it might be 100 degrees. And my phone shut off because of the heat in this car, but we're still bringing you the show.
I guess what I would say is this. Well, I'll just react to that, and then we'll have one more topic before your car does get too hot, Jeff. Obviously appreciate you doing this. Every year you've got rookie quarterbacks that come into the league, but certainly next year, as of right now, we don't expect as many quarterbacks or offensive-minded players potentially in a deep draft going in the first round in 2025. This is a year where you see maybe 4 to 5 and coming out of the shell very early. I would tap the brakes on all of them. You have to be prudent in this situation. And you talk about Jaden Daniels and Super Bowl tickets. From someone who's been looking at accommodation for New Orleans over the last 3 weeks, get on it now, because it's an absolute insert word here show. Like, there might not be a Jeff Ryan Bull show from Radio Row next year, and that's all I'm going to say at the minute. We'll work it out. I want to end on this, Jeffrey. Okay, it's the New York Jets. A team that's coming to London. As we were saying a minute ago, the Jets have got 6 night games in the first 11 weeks, 6 primetime games. And that first one against the Niners, what's the over and under in snaps for Aaron Rodgers? Are we saying 2.5, 3.5?
Don't go down that. You do not go down that
But do you
road.
think that, do you think like the Jets owe the league at least 9 primetime games this year after last year, or what?
Well, you know what? What does it speak to? It speaks to the incredible power of what a great quarterback means to not only to his football team, but it means to the hopes of the biggest television market in the United States, and that's New York. And so, you know, if you're a fan, like when I was in college, Mike, I took a class in it was sport finance is what it was called. And it was about teams and how they're structured and how they pay their bills and, you know, marketing and all that stuff. Think about this one. What have the Jets done to deserve that this much? What have the Cowboys done to deserve that? Less than that much, right? But those two teams, because they're in huge television markets and they've got brand name, you know, brand name quarterbacks, they get those games. And that's just the way it is, right? And you've got probably better teams in a number of other cities. Detroit is one of them that aren't going to get nearly that much exposure. But that's the economics of pro football. Now, what will really be interesting to see is those games are pretty much front loaded too, Mike. A lot of those Jets games are early in the year. What happens now if he gets hurt again? Right? Do you remember last year?
Don't
Thank God that, thank
say
God.
it, Jeff. Don't even bring that
So,
into
no,
existence.
I'm just throwing a hypothetical at you right here, right? Last year, the Jets defense under Jeff Ulbrich saved them. Not only saved them from a competitive standpoint, they saved them from a television standpoint because that offense was unwatchable of the Jets. Unwatchable. If you watch the Jets, the only thing that was fun to watch was Tom Morstead punting because he was going to punt about 9 times a game and the Jets defense. And that's it. So if, you know, Aaron Rodgers stays healthy and, you know, we see the young offensive guys that they brought in, and I think they drafted well. If they can be healthy and play together and, you know, shoots, the Jets are going to climb over the Patriots right now. And I think the Bills are set to stumble some. I don't know what Miami's going to be yet, right? I think that's the interesting one. But it's not inconceivable in the AFC East that if Rodgers stays healthy and Pashan is the guy that they think he's going to be a tackle, and you know, the young offensive players around Rodgers play the way he wants them to play, because that's the most important thing. And Paul Hackett, or excuse me, if Hackett just gets out of the way, then I think the Jets have a chance, you know, to really make a statement in the AFC East.
I want to leave us, Jeff, with a final sort of thought. I'll put you in the spot here before we go, okay? Jurgen Klopp leaves Liverpool after 8 titles over more than a decade. Obviously, transformed the club, transformed the team. In the last 10 years, which head coach in the NFL has done something similar, do you think? And it's different because I know it's not about winning every year, but.
You know, it's so that's really a difference. In the last 10 years, I don't think anybody in the last 10 years has had the consistent high level of success that Liverpool's had. I mean, who you think about it, 10 years. Well, you look at the last, what, five, I guess it is, and it's not the Patriots. So a 10-year run, I think the only guy, this might be the ninth year Kansas City can win their division, ninth straight year. So I would say the Kansas City Chiefs are probably the only team in the NFL that, off the top of my head, that would be able to put that kind of success story together.
I love it. I love it. Best luck to your Leeds next weekend, Jeff. I believe we'll have a podcast at some point this week. I don't know what's happening.
They don't need luck, Michael. They have a great team. They've got a great coach. He needs a, you know, I think he needs a, somebody to polish his image a little bit, because he always looks like he's mad. He's the Don Coryell of the Premiership. But they also have far and away in all of sport the best uniform. Those white uniforms, Michael, primo.
Well, I think we'll leave it there. Jeff, you're on the road like a madman. I think the best way to say this is for people listening, there's another podcast coming this week with a guy from the IPP, but whenever you're free, Jeff, you FaceTime me and we'll get one done. I think that's the best thing at the minute. Just do that there, yeah?
I will, because I'm in Houston and I'm Mike, I don't even know what day or what time it is. I'm just driving. I'm finding football players, man. You take care. It's great to talk to you. Aloha. Mahalo, actually.
Oh, aloha.
Oh, aloha.
Happy this. Okay. Goodbye.
All right, man.